Logan Storey, from Harbour Bridge rigger to Golden Globe winner and Australian of the Year, is well known.
But having the working blue-collar background, I think that's an advantage.
Every Aussie has done this line at a dinner table.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
And complained that we don't actually call them shrimp.
I'll slip an extra shrimp on the barbie for you.
But the man who came to the movies late...
I made my first movie at 47 and did all right.
..is back in a new film all about telling a great Aussie joke.
It was his four nuns, right?
This is a true story.
So this guy goes to the confessional.
There's this jumbo jet.
All right, I've got one for you.
Please welcome Paul Hogan.
Hey. Yeah. G'day, Paul.
Hey, hello, Mick. Hello, Jane.
G'day, Paul. How are you?
Alive and well.
Oh,
that's a positive these days, isn't it?
It is a positive. Where do we find you today? Where we're calling you from?
I'm here in Venice.
In Venice?
Los Angeles, not Italy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Venice Beach. Surrounded by 30 or 40 of my closest friends. Partying, you know, sort of. Just a minute. Can you keep it down, Kim? Can you talk to her? Tell her to keep quiet.
Oh, yes, of course.
Noisy lot.
Oh, yeah, no, the Kardashians will give you a bit of trouble. Paul, do you mind if I take you back to 1986?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was working. It was my very first job ever, the first day of my first job.
Right.
And I was working as a producer on a radio show in Melbourne, a radio station called 3UZ, for a guy called Nick Irby. Had a morning show there, and I had this bloke come in. I was so nervous because it was you. You were coming in to promote a film that you'd made called Crocodile Dundee. Familiar with that? Yeah.
I remember you.
Well, I'm so glad because I was shitting myself that day.
Well, I wouldn't have known.
You're the very first guest I ever had in my life to interview.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, tell us about this new film you're involved with, Paul, before we get on to some other areas. How did you get involved?
Oh, this is didn't know it was going to be a film. It was just Shane having a barbecue and inviting a lot of comics around to tell jokes, to try and reintroduce the lost art.
Yep.
And I'm not usually a joke teller anyway. I've loved in comedy shows. I love to hear people laugh. So I thought, oh, yeah, well, the joke thing's worth doing because it gives everyone an opportunity to be a comic and make people laugh.
It does.
That's the good thing about joke telling.
Yep. And you'd worked with Shane before, of course.
Oh, yeah, Shane. He's a prince.
And the film has got a lot of really well-known Australians who give their two bobs worth and have come forward with their great jokes. Everyone from, Fiona O'Loughlin, she just won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of the Jungle,
She's
that show.
She's on a roll.
She's
right.
On a roll. We've got...
Limo.
Jamoan.
Steve Izard.
Crikey. It's a full house.
Yep.
About to be released too, the film. So should be a ripper to get out there.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're sticking it in a theatre to sort of test it. And that's the only way to see any comedy is, you know, in a theatre full of people. And apparently they're all laughing their heads off, so... it was great.
I've heard nothing but good things. Now, the other thing that's causing a sensation over here at the moment is the idea that there may be another sequel or a prequel or whatever you call it to Crocodile Dundee after the mega level of interest that was generated after the Gridiron Grand Final. Is there any chance, there's any truth to all these rumours that are bubbling about at the moment, Paul?
It's a vague possibility. I was talking to Chris and Danny, and they've got some idea they want to float around, but probably not, but maybe. Actually, I'm making a film in May, June, and its sort of working title is Whatever Happened to Crocodile Dundee?
Oh,
and,
no.
Crikey.
Really?
He's not in it. I always said if there was another one, he'd be in a retirement village getting out of the water.
That's still not a bad place to start, though, is it? I have to ask you, many accomplishments, obviously, your legendary TV show, which both Jane and I, we were interviewed recently, and we said that was one of the most incredible early influences on our own careers. But you've done so much in your career. I wanted to ask you specifically about hosting the Logies, which I know you've done, haven't you? Because I'm trying to get Jane Kennedy to do it.
Oh, hang on.
Do you have any What are your strongest memories of hosting or at least opening the Logies, and what advice would you give to Jane about that?
Don't do it.
The problem with the Logies these days, Paul, is that, you know, they've gone really straight and no one can smoke and no one can get drunk anymore. It's all very PC. It used to be fun.
Over here now, it's just the coming to the end of the award season, thank God.
Yeah.
And it's just endless procession of sort of weeping people and thanking everybody and sort of like, oh, it's supposed to be fun.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, back in the 80s, I opened the Oscars.
Yep.
Mm. And I made a speech there, taking the mickey out of it, the whole thing, and it seemed to go over well, but it's 30 years ago and I was never invited back. So.
But that is rubbish. I mean, that's what we mean. You know, everybody's now standing up making other statements rather than just get on stage, say thank you and piss off, I reckon.
Yes, that's what I'd say. My information was, as I said on the night there, son, remember the 3 G's. Be gracious, be grateful, get off.
Well, on that note, we better let you go, I suppose. I think that was a subtle hint, Jane.
Paul, we're big fans, and it's been great to chat with you, of course, and good luck with the film.
That's not my dog. I can't wait to see it myself.
Sounds great.
Thank you, guys. Good on you.
Good on you. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thank you very much, mate.